Show with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Luke Bradnam, Cherie Everett with you. Hope your weekend was good. Not
yes,
that you could get up too much.
No. A lot of gardening, a lot of cleaning, lots of, you know, the mundane stuff, but I'm really enjoying it because I don't normally get time to do that sort of thing.
You know what they reckon is going through the roof at the moment? What the new thing is that people are stockpiling?
Uh-oh, what?
Baking goods. So homemade cakes.
You know what? It's the first time. I buy all those pre-mixed ones and the boxes, all those, that cookie dough in the roll. So
yeah.
Good.
Oh, you lazy thing.
Yeah.
What? You buy that cookie?
I buy the cookie dough in a long roll. It looks like a dog roll. And then slice it up and then you roll it into a ball. But I eat it raw because it's so good.
Oh, Cherie. Make your own. Or
yum.
Do you know what I did the other day? I mean, I saw that stuff and I literally thought to myself, what idiot is buying this cookie dough stuff?
Me, because I am.
Right, in my supermarket, which is the Metro, right? Metro Woolworths. So it's a smaller one than a normal supermarket. They've got the cookie dough rolled up where you can buy it, right? And it's like, I don't know, I'm making these figures up, but it's like $4 for the cookie dough, right? Where you bake your own cookies.
Yes.
Right next to it, they've got cookies for $2.50, half price, and they're already cooked.
Yes, but it's the fun of having the kids make it.
But if you want to, but Cherie, if you want to make it from scratch.
Nah,
they're pretty
that's too
easy.
Much mess. Way
they're
too much
easy.
Mess when you've got kids in the kitchen.
Oh, there's so much fun to make it. You cut it up and then you chuck it in the oven. How's that baking? That's not baking, Cherie.
No, because you get to eat the raw mix. That's the best part.
Oh, yuck.
Yum.
Anyway, people are stockpiling now. They're buying that baking stuff, which just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, I think it's because it's entertainment and food all at once.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I must admit that I've been... Yesterday, this is what I made yesterday, okay? Yesterday, I made sausage rolls, homemade sausage rolls.
Oh.
I made a pulled pork, and I made guacamole, and...
From your 200 avocados that you've got.
And I made a... apple crumble as well. That's what I made yesterday.
Yum!
I made all of those yesterday.
Apple crumble. I'm going to get spider in the kitchen.
I did it all because I was bored out of my tree. That was it.
Yeah, that's good. That is perfect. Yeah. I'm going to get spider on to do that. You two can have a cook off.
And now I'm doing a slow cooked beef brisket as we speak.
Oh, you are just like man of the kitchen, aren't you?
I'm like Gordon Ramsay.
Slow-cooked brisket with a apple shortcake on the side.
Mm,
guacamole for entree.
No, I'm just bored. I'm bored is what I am. Hey, coming up on the show this afternoon, Mayor Tom Tate's going to join us. We're going to slow down the Queen so she sounds drunk. We're going to talk to Kathy from Married at First Sight. That show is done and dusted for another year. We're going to, I don't know, what else are we going to do? Adam Sandler's got a song out. We'll talk
about
that.
Yeah, he's got a new song that's out. It's pretty funny. And then we've got some breaking news across there too.
Yeah, if you want to catch up on all the latest that's affecting us and our life here on the Gold Coast with regards to this COVID-19, listen to this. It's the catch-up and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
You could almost see the pain on our mayor's face when he announced that he's closing some beaches today. You could tell he didn't want to do it, but he just simply had to after what we saw over the weekend.
People
just not getting the message.
People aren't, and they're not following the rules, and it's disappointing that it comes to this.
Or they're thinking, Cherie, those rules apply for everyone else, but they don't apply to me. I'm special. I can still go to the beach. And here's the deal, as I understand it. The Spit's getting closed. Surface Paradise Beach is getting closed. And Coolangatta Beach is getting closed. Mayor Tom Tate joining us to explain all now. Welcome to the show, Tom. How are you?
I'm good, Luke and Cherie. Busy trying to thumb through what we could do to make sure it's a fine balance that our outdoor lifestyle is not threatened as Gold Coasters. But at the same time, we've got to battle and beat this COVID-19. And the messages that I got out there was that I spoke with the superintendent of police about looking at cars that are coming down the M1, that if it looks non-essential, that is, if it's got surfboard on the roof rack, they were pulling them over and sending them back, you know, which is great.
Right. So, a lot of brizos heading down.
Yeah, mate, and when we saw the photos and and Jono's going to ask where they're from, it's out of towners. So I went, well, if that's the case, how about I shut the beaches that out of towners use straight up? And so we'll do that midnight tomorrow night. That is the Spit, Surfers Paradise, and Coolangatta. I'll re-look at it, in a few days. But for Gold Coasters and that, you know, mate, we love our walk on the beach and a bit of fresh air, and then get back home. So yeah, I close a few more car parks because locals can still get there.
Oh, I see. That's not a bad idea. In other words, you'd have to be able to go within walking distance. That's a good idea, Tom, I tell you.
It's a great idea.
I think is going to happen this weekend is the Brizzos are still going to come to the beach, but they'll just go to Broadbeach.
Well, mate, I'll keep an eye out. If that's the case, mate, I'll close the car park.
That's a good idea.
They can park their car, and we'll I've got plenty of parking officers to go and basically give them a few tickets so that, we might as well take the money off them for a start, you know.
That's right. So would that be right if you were caught coming from Brisbane or Logan or somewhere like that, coming to one of the Gold Coast beaches, would it be that $1,300 fine?
Well, under the Health Act, yeah, that can be. But our police officers are trying to go, mate, you're not meant to be here, go away. You know, we're trying to do the right thing, but if they give us the finger, we'll give them the 1,300. You know,
yeah,
exactly.
No, yeah, that makes sense. Because initially, when I heard that rule, oh, we're going to close a couple of beaches, I just went, everyone's just going to go to different beaches. But I really like that idea of the car park, because that means locals can still get down there. But I got to say, Tom, as much as we're being parochial here and thinking that all Gold Coasters are doing the right thing, they're bloody well not. There's plenty of locals that haven't been. This is my observation, Tom. There's plenty of locals who haven't been to the beach in 6 months or 6 years for that matter.
Yes.
And now they're going, you know what I need to do? I need to go to the beach, and I might even make a day of it at the moment. Like, and people that haven't exercised in 10 years are getting out exercising at the moment. It's rather bizarre.
Yeah, it's the old adage, you want something you can't have. But you know, they've just got to think a bit deeper. I've been watching the commentary on the website, you know, and some few people go, you're taking away our human rights. Yes, I'm taking away your human right not to infect other people.
Yeah,
exactly. And people just, if people only use their common sense, we could get through this so much quicker, because now every single day that these people set a foot out of line, it's another day we've got a tech on the other end, or another week that we've got a tech on the other end.
You're dead right, Cherie. And you know what? They should not just think about themselves, but their friends and family. Just remind yourself that if you go home and you've been interacting with someone, and then all of a sudden some of your loved one cops it, right? You might be more immune than that, but somebody would be more vulnerable in your family. They cop it, and then all of a sudden they're in intensive care. Now, if that's the case, you'll never forgive yourself. I think they should think a little bit further on that, you know?
Hey, good job today, Tom. That makes perfect sense. I really like that idea of cutting off the car parks, because that is going to keep people in their own suburbs, which is what we probably need, because a lot of people, even here on the Gold Coast, are travelling half an hour to get to the beach. If it's that essential that you exercise, why can't you do it in your own neighbourhood? That would be, you know, that's what we're basically saying at this moment. And that that car park deal sort of fixes that problem. But good job, and right, thank you once again for fronting up and getting on the front foot on the show this afternoon. We really appreciate it.
See you, Luke. Cherie. Take care.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Are you watching the sign language guys whenever someone gives a press conference? Cherie, you know how they have the sign language people come out?
Yeah, Boston thought they were TikToking. He's like, Mum, why are there people TikToking in the corner of the screen? And I was like, then I realised what they were doing.
Their faces are so expressive. And honestly, like, I would love to do. I'd love to get someone who actually speaks sign language, turn the volume down on the TV, and then have them just look at what the sign language guy is and then say, okay, what was that press conference about?
But it's incredibly talented to be able to do that. Like, that is,
I know, but what I don't get, like when, because I was watching Anastasia Palaszczuk before, okay, and she was giving a press conference, and I swear she said a whole sentence about cruise ships, right? And it was, the whole sentence was, and these cruise ships are moving by our waters in a northern capacity. There's guests, there's no guests on board. There's only crew. They need to find safe passage, but at this stage, we're unable to find a passage for them, okay? The guy did all of that in about three motions. Now, how can that be?
This?
Yes, he, like, how can he get it so succinct? And it reminded me of, like, when Nelson Mandela passed away. This story is the most remarkable story. Nelson Mandela passes away. President Obama flies to South Africa for the service, and they get a guy to do the sign language for the funeral. Now, you would think that this guy would have to be the greatest sign language expert in the history
of
sign language.
Yes.
He's got the President of the United States, a legendary figure's funeral. This guy had never done sign language before in his life. He was a BSer, and he got up there and just made up the motions, Cherie. And it's a true story. Cherie, you've got to YouTube it. He actually just went, he just made things up on the spot because he needed a gig, and he went, yeah, I can sign language. No one checked his credentials, and he got up there and bluffed his way through one of the biggest services. Oh, okay. Just have a go at this one real quick. This is funny. I love it when people in authority lose it and can't keep a straight face. And that's what happened with the Western Australian Premier. They were talking to him about whether or not you can eat a kebab out in public because someone got fined in Sydney for eating. Someone in Sydney sat at a park bench and ate a kebab and got fined because you're not supposed to be at the park.
Well, good, because they should have kept walking. Shouldn't have been sitting down. They should have been fluid and kept walking.
They asked the Western Australian Premier, can you eat a kebab in the park? And he started, have a go.
Yes, I think in New South Wales, was going for a run, stopped to have a kebab, and then was handed a fine. So will WA be handing out some fines in that sense?
I find it hard to believe someone was going for a run and then stopped to have a kebab. But in any event, they do things differently in New South Wales. Look, there's nothing wrong with... There's nothing wrong with going for a run... There's nothing wrong with going for a run and having a kebab. But I don't think there's anything wrong. We're not making it unlawful to go for a run and eat a kebab.
But he's got a point. Who goes for a run and eats a kebab? That's like going to the gym and then sitting there with McDonald's.
You only have a kebab when you're drunk.
Exactly.
Not after you've finished a run.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Cherie, you know how they closed all of the all boating or recreational boating over the weekend?
Yep.
Unless you had essential travel or if you're going out fishing. I don't think they policed it that well over the weekend because I look out over the Broadwater and I reckon I counted at least 50 jet skiers just cruising with no... Yeah, yesterday. And the funny thing was... The water police were out, and they were just sort of waving at the water cops as they went by, so they didn't seem to policing it. I just hope that it doesn't happen for the boaties, what's happened today for the beaches, whereby some of our beaches have been closed. I hope a few of them aren't going to spoil it for the rest of us.
People aren't going to follow the rules. They're going to ruin it for everyone. So everyone needs to pull their head in.
Seeing some people that just think that all these directives apply to the rest of society but don't apply to them for some reason at the moment, it's kind of frustrating.
It's like they think they're above the law. It is. It's very frustrating.
The Queen put out a message today. Her Majesty the Queen, and I love the Queen, Cherie. I do. I love her.
You're being very mean to her right about now, though.
I'm not being mean at all. Like what we've been doing throughout this whole COVID-19 deal is we've been slowing down some of the world leaders to make them sound drunk to try and have a bit of a laugh. And it's been a very popular segment on our show. And Her Majesty, she's a woman of the people.
She did her very first personal address to the public in England when she was just 14 years old because her dad was off at war and she had to give them the update on what was happening. She's 14.
Has she yet? Has she ever done one after she's had a skin fall, though? That's what we want to know. And if she has, what would she sound like? So you may have seen Her Majesty's speech earlier today. Not going to play that for you, but we're going to play the slowed down version. What would the Queen sound like doing an update on COVID-19 if she was drunk? Well, it would sound a little like this.
Together we are tackling this disease. And I want to reassure you that if we remain united and resolute, then we will overcome it.
Oh, she sounds good.
I hope in the years to come, everyone will be able to take pride in how they responded to this challenge.
Oh, she sounds a coherent
as
anything.
And those who come after us will say the Britons of this generation were as strong as any.
It sounds like she's about to fall asleep.
No, she actually sounds very sprightly, you know, after she's had a just play some Donald Trump. Like, you slow Donald Trump down. He sounds like an absolute gibber. The Queen sounded coherent as anything. Here's Trump.
I know South Korea better than anybody. 38 million people.
Okay, yeah, I've got you now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
There's so much confusion around at the moment, I think, Cherie, with regards to what benefits you can claim if you maybe have lost your job or if you're a sole trader or whatever.
I jumped online over the weekend just to have a look. We've got a couple of friends that are doing it really tough, and she had been telling me how it's just impossible to get any of these government handouts. So I thought, oh, she's just panicking. I'll jump online and read through it for her and, you know, narrow it down. Oh, my Lord. So incredibly difficult to follow. At last count, I think there was four forms you had to fill in. They were about 10 pages long each.
Hang on a second, Cherie. You saying even... Even for you?
Even for me. See, I enjoy reading legal documents. So sitting through these.
Even for me,
like
I had
that.
Trouble. Well, look, Cherie's having trouble, if even Cherie's struggling to navigate her way, we need to get an expert on to try and dumb it down for us. And James Marshall is that expert. He's from MWM Advisory, accountants, and here on the Gold Coast. He's joining us right now. James, welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Very well, thanks, folks. How is everyone? Are you guys all remote separately as well?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, that must be interesting.
What about you, mate? Are you in the office or are you at home?
Yeah, I actually am in the office. I've got a four-screen set up in my office, but everyone else, we've got 25-plus people all working remotely and trying to work out how to do it. It's a bit of a challenge.
Oh, it is, mate. Yeah. And so what about for accountants at the moment, mate? Are you guys busy or...
It's grand final day every day at the moment, Luke. I think that's the best way you can describe it. You've got to be up early and into it and you're going to bed late every day and there's no beers at the end. At the moment, there will be eventually.
But can you just try to make it simple? You know, over the weekend, a girlfriend of mine they have pretty much lost their business, and they're trying to keep it afloat. They're trying to navigate these handouts from the government, not only for their business but also for their employees. And it just seems like an absolute minefield.
Yeah, Cherie, look, it really is. And I think if we take a step back and we look at the underlying principles, we've got local, state and federal governments all trying to make sure that they care for people in different ways. And I think the important thing for all of us to remember is that there is definitely packages for everyone. And just about everything that I'm seeing is being backdated. So as they're releasing this information and they're saying, here's what applies to certain people, there are gaps in that because they're trying to make sure it encompasses everything possible. They're also saying that bear with us on that. And as we seek to clarify those things, we will be backdating all of those payments. So especially around this JobKeeper, JobSeeker thing that's been going on, there's a lot of people that are stressed. Should I keep my employees on? Should I not? There is still a few gaps in relation to what they're saying for that. But what they are saying in either event is that you will fall into the keeper or seeker bucket. So as a result, if we're a seeker, I think those minimum payments start at about $500, $550 a week, and the keeper payments are obviously $750 a week. We've got this interim challenge at the moment, which is saying to businesses, okay, well, I've actually got to get to May before I'm going to get that payment. And how does that work? Yeah. The state governments are offering funding to businesses to say, we'll give you money to get through your payroll for the next 4 weeks. And then when the ATO pays you, and in turn you can pay everyone else, you can deal with that loan accordingly. Yeah, that's right. So
would it be fair to say though that navigating it on your own is difficult, that you really have to seek a professional's advice and go to an accountant to get it done?
Yeah, so jokingly, and this is a bit of a plug for us, Cherie, but I've been saying to clients two things. If it comes from a .gov.au website, listen to the information. If it comes from mwmadvisory.com.au, listen to that information. But if it's coming from all these different places, everyone's got all this conflicting propaganda that's happening with it. And yes, you're right. You need to be talking to someone.
All right. That's probably the best advice we can give you because, it's so important that we get the dosh out there. But honestly, people are scumbags, and some people try and capitalise in times like this, and they're trying to exploit the people that are so vulnerable at the moment. Hey, James, we appreciate you, mate, dumbing it down for us and your time this afternoon. Thanks very much.
No problems, folks. Hope it helped.
There he goes. James Marshall, MWM Advisory Accountants here on the Gold Coast.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
There's no rugby league on, no sport of any kind.
Nope, not a thing.
I've been saying this, Cherie, the only reprieve we've had from COVID-19 is Married at First Sight, but last night that finished as well. It's done and dusted for another year.
It's the last one done and dusted. Those poor, tragic people can go and get back to reality. Maybe coronavirus and being in lockdown might actually be more normal for them than being on the TV show.
Yeah, but I'm not concerned about them. I'm worried about me and what I do with my time. But Kathy from Married at First Sight joins us right now after the big finale last night. Hey, Kathy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm going good. I'm proper tough. It's done, hey.
Yeah, all done and done.
I bet you
are. Where are you seeing out COVID-19? Like, are you in isolation or what's your life like at the moment?
Yeah, I'm in isolation. I've actually been in isolation since I've been back in Australia from New Zealand, because I was here, came back a couple of weeks ago, and that's when it started to go, it kind of blew up, and everyone was like, oh, you need to isolate, you need to be at home for 14 days before you can see the world. And then once I'd finished that, then old mate Scotty Morrison goes, oh, everyone has to be at home. And now I'm like, I've literally
stuck in.
Yeah.
Now, Kathy, so, I've got to ask you, there's been some breaking news come out of the MAFS camp this afternoon. Casey and Michael are now a serious item. What do you think of that?
Look, you know, I'm really happy for my friend Casey. Casey's been probably my only friend that I feel really comfortable with from the show. And
well, she's the only one, honestly, and you're the only two that we liked as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. to be honest, I'm happy for her. Like, and the fact that there was nothing shady that went down during filming, I approve. If it was, you know, like if I'd known that they had been doing the sneaky, then I would have been like, I would have had a word with her and been like, what the hell are you guys doing? But the fact that it happened months after filming, I feel like it's okay. Like, we weren't actually all married. That's right.
He just seems like such a douchebag, and she seems like such a cool chick. But anyway, we don't know him, so he might be a good bloke. You know. Hey, what about you? Have you gone on a date since all this wrapped up? Have you seen anyone else, or have you just been single since filming wrapped up?
Well, actually, I'm locked down in a relationship.
Ooh,
oh, really?
With who? You have to tell us.
Yeah. he's just a normal law-abiding Australian citizen. He's not anyone famous, which is great. So that's why, you know, my relationship has been quite private, and I guess that's why it's worked so well. But he's been a friend of mine for a while, and then after the show was all done, you know, we caught up for coffee and a chat, and it just kind of happened naturally, and yeah.
You know, I'm so interested in that, Kathy. Firstly, I'm really happy for you that you found love. That's fantastic. But just from his point of view, I can't imagine how tough it would be for your new boyfriend to be watching TV with you fawning all over this other guy and pouring your heart out. Like, that would have been, for me, excruciating to watch. I don't think I could watch it, actually, with the girl I'm in love with, watching her fawning all over someone else. How difficult, and has he watched the show?
So, with particular episodes which I knew were more intense than others, then I would be like, okay, you need to leave the room. It's not something you're going to be happy with watching.
And he
respected that, yeah. And he wanted to do that for his own sanity, because he knew it was going to squizzle up his head. So, you know, he was really respectful of everything. And he said that he knows that watching some of those episodes that I wasn't in love with him at all, and if anything, I'm deeply in love with him, that he knows that our relationship is real, whereas that wasn't. And I was like, good, you know what, feed yourself whatever you need to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that would be a tough one. Hey, good on you, Kathy. And did you guys, final one before you go, have you guys all been in like some big group chat or anything like that last night, given that was the final episode to air around the country? Or is it just like, good riddance, I hope I never see a lot of you ever again?
I can definitely say I'm not a part of any group chat. I've had enough of them anyway.
We get it. Hey, good on you, Kathy. Thanks for your time this afternoon, and congratulations once again on finding love. I think that's fantastic.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I listened to Donald Trump today because
they think
they found something that actually kills the coronavirus.
Well,
apparently India's got a heap of these tablets, malaria-related, as you would have already heard. But Donald Trump he pronounces the particular drug that can kill corona. Have a go at this and see if you think it's the creepiest speech pattern by Donald Trump ever, which is saying something because he's kind of creepy all the time. But him pronouncing this particular drug, I don't know why, just gives me the douche chills. It's so creepy. Have a listen to it.
But hydroxychloroquine. Try it if you'd like.
He's like the little nutty professor, isn't he?
You know what he reminds me of? If you've ever seen... If you've ever seen Silence of the Lamb, where they've got the real freak, and he's down some, and he's going, it puts the lotion in the basket. That's what he sounds like. Play it again, Brixie.
But hydroxychloroquine. Try it, if you'd like.
Why is he talking like that?
I don't know. Is he voicing something for The Simpsons?
That's what he sounds like. He sounds like a cartoon.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Well done, Brixie. Well done. Oh, magic fingers, Brixie, back in the studio. All right, I want to have a listen to this. Everyone's saying this is pretty funny. It's Adam Sandler. He's written a coronavirus song. I think you might have found this, Sheree, right?
Yes, yeah.
I haven't heard it. I'm dying to hear it. This is Adam Sandler. And he's done a coronavirus song. Let's have a listen.
Doctors brought us into this world as babies. And doctors take good care of your grandma. Doctors always give you an old lollipop after hitting your knee with a hammer. Nurses slap your arm till they find a good vein. They wear Crocs and they tell you the truth. Nurses give you ice packs and pain medication while your doctor is smoking on the roof. Doctors and nurses will save us from this mess if we get them the supplies that they need. And I hope they save us soon, because I'm really, really sick of my family.
He's so sick of his family.
I'm more entertained by Donald Trump saying that drug's name. One more time, Brixie.
But hydroxychloroquine. Try it, if you'd like.
You know what? He should be on Tiger King.
What a creep.
It rubs he would have fit in. On its skin or else it gets the hose again.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
About to rack off out of here with some breaking news. Are you saying that ScoMo's given a particular person an exemption from our quarantine rules, Cherie? That's
yes,
what I'm hearing.
Yes, he has.
What is
come
the deal?
From the highest order. I've got a copy of it here, so I will read it out to you. This is exactly what it says. It is on letterhead from the Australian government, official letterhead from the Prime Minister, and it is a special exemption. Get that, egg, EGG, for travel within Australia. I, Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister of Australia, do hereby authorise the Easter Bunny to travel freely into all states and territories of Australia for the essential service to provide children with their chocolate egg deliveries.
This weekend. Okay. If I catch the coronavirus from the Easter Bunny, I'm suing, all right? That's what I'm doing. I don't want to be a party
pooper.
Because
he's magical and special, you can't catch it from him.
I don't want to be a party pooper. If I catch corona from the Easter Bunny, I'm dead set suing, all right? So that's, just chucking that out there as a pre-warning to everybody. No. Now, that's a good move from ScoMo. Good on
it
you, mate.
Is.
In fact, hey, ScoMo must be doing a thing right or two because they're saying ScoMo has got the highest, his poll figures are higher than any Prime Minister's poll figures in over a decade.
So, which wouldn't be hard because we've had about 63 of them in the last 10 years.
That's true, but still, it wasn't that long ago that he was at the lowest of the low after the bushfire deals. In fact, earlier this year, his figures were so low that they were like, well, he's dead set going to lose the next election, but now his figures are as high as anything.
And it's amazing how short our memories are because it was just in January when nobody liked him, yet, you know, 8 weeks later, he's the best thing since sliced bread.
Okay, so there's heaps of celebs doing different things online to try and entertain us while we're all in isolation. Really. And Jimmy Stewart from Star Trek, he's come up with the worst idea. Patrick Stewart has come up. I've never watched Star Trek, I'm very proud to say. Never watched Star Trek, never watched Star Wars. But anyway, Patrick Stewart, he's reading sonnets. He's reading famous sonnets for people. And honestly, I would rather shove my head into an oven than listen to Patrick Stewart read sonnets. But then I'm not well versed, you know. I'm not very evolved, you know. I'm a pretty simple creature. But he's reading this sonnet, and I don't know why, but I follow him on Twitter, so I actually got this sent to me today. And this is where I don't get about sonnets because I'm like, oh, okay, I'll be interested in this one because he says this one's filthy. Like, this sonnet that he's about to read is absolutely filthy, he says. And so I'm like, oh, cool. There's a sonnet I can...
I'll
like this
one.
Usually they're a bit uppity, these sonnets, a bit pretentious, but, oh, here's a filthy sonnet. I listen to the sonnet and I don't even know what part of it's filthy. I'm so dumb, I can't even work out that this is a filthy sonnet. And I want you to listen to it, Cherie.
Okay.
And you try and work out if you can work out that this is a filthy sonnet. Let's have a listen to Patrick Stewart.
It.
Hello. This next sonnet uses growing things as a metaphor for procreation, love, sex. I'm a little uncomfortable with some of it. But anyway, here goes. But wherefore do not you a mightier way make war upon this bloody tyrant time, and fortify yourself in your decay with means more blessed than my barren rhyme? Now stand you on the top of happy hours and many maiden gardens yet unset.
He's
you
talking about virgins and sex.
You really get that.
Well, he's talking about maidens and he's talking about procreating and sex. So that's dirty to older people. They don't talk about that sort of thing.
I'm glad you got that. Mate, unless your sonnet starts with "there once was a man from Nantucket," chances are I'm not going to understand it. Hey, we're racking off out of here. What do you want to say, Cherie, before we call close the play for today?
Stop going to the beach. Stop going over the border. Stop going to the beach. Stop going out of your suburbs. Stop being an idiot.
Yeah, I'm going to dumb it down even further. Yes, these social distancing regulations even apply to you. How about
yes.
that?
They every even single one of you.
Stop
hey,
it.
Hey, ScoMo, what did you want to say, ScoMo?
Stop it.
Exactly. All right. We're back tomorrow afternoon from 3 for your local drive home. Copy you then.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.